Okay, Tom, welcome back to our continuing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. We are now beginning the second chapter of Masechet Yevamot with the first Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, and today, in Yirtzeh Hashem, we will study this Mishnah and its entire Gemara to the next Mishnah on Daf Yud Chet Amud Bet. The focus of the Mishnah is Erva number 14 on our list of 15 in the first parak, which is Eish Lachiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, brothers that did not coexist. And the Mishnah will explicate how that plays out. The Gemara will then detail the source of this detail, of this limitation of the law of Yibum, and then will immediately bring us into a very central sugya about Yibum, known as the sugya of Yesh Ziko and Zika, and when we get to it, I'll introduce it. How does this play out? So there's brothers number one and two. Brother one dies. Brother one is married to wife number one. Right now we don't need other wives in that picture. Brother number two is married to wife number two. We again do not need any other wives in that picture. So now brother number one dies, brother number three is born. And then brother number two is miyabem wife number one, who mate. And then he dies. All of them obviously childless. And now they fall to brother number three, who was born after brother number one died. So the first wife number one, is exempt because she is Eish Tachiv Shalaya Bolamo, because she was originally married to the brother who did not coexist with the brother to whom she's fallen. And wife number two is Yotza because she's Tzarat Eish Tachiv Shalaya Bolamo. Now, Asaba Ma'amar, quick introduction. In Mida Oraita, the din of Yibum is such that the minute that somebody falls in Yibum, the man does Yibum, and they are fully married. However, the Rabbanan, in order to enhance the tzniut aspect of this and the propriety, introduced a form of kiddushin known as Ma'amar, which is done through Kesef, and a man gives his Yivama, Kesef, form of kiddushin. That is known as Ma'amar. It's a Kinyan Drabbanan. And it does have a quasi-effect of creating a relationship. So now, let's say Asaba Ma'amar. Let's say that the second guy, brother number two, had only done Ma'amar, but not consummated. Then Umeit. Shnia Choletzet Velomita Bemet. Shnia meaning the other wife is Choletzet Velomita Bemet. Why is the other wife Choletzet Velomita Bemet? So she is not mitabemet because she's sort of tsarat eshtachiv shalaya balamo because of the ma'amar. Why is she choletzet? Because the ma'amar was not significant enough to create the bond, so therefore she's really falling from brother number two, who coexisted with brother number three. Good. Now, right on that point, Amram Nachman, mandatani bishon alo mishtavish, mandatani shni alo mishtavish. Anybody who reads in that last clause, the word Rishona is right, or the word Shnia is right? Let's see. Mandatani Rishona l'mishtabesh, why my Rishona, Rishona l'nefila? Meaning, she is the first one who fell. Apologies. He's now talking about something earlier. Hashnia in the earlier clause. Hashnia mishum tsarata. How do you read Shnia here? Shnia meaning the wife of brother number two. Right? If you read that as Rishona, it's fine, or Shnia is fine, meaning either text will still mean the same woman. If you read Rishona, Lomishtavish, why my Rishona, Rishona Linefila? Because she is falling for the first time. Right? In other words, she is falling, she fell from the first marriage. Ma'atana Shnia Lomishtavish, if you read that woman as Shnia, right? She is the second one who was married, meaning she was married to the second guy. This is wife number two. Now, so that means you're limiting it to a case where brother number two first did Yibum on wife number one, then married wife number two, and that's why you're calling wife number two Shnia bin Nisuin. So what's Shnia mean? Shnia is she is on her second marriage. In other words, the Shnia here is wife number one, and she is on her second marriage, or she's called Rishon because she was the first one to fall. In other words, he's just saying, some people have the word Rishon here, some people have the word Sheni here. Don't chastise them, either read is perfect because it still means the same woman. It's referring to wife number one. Good. Now, Eshtachim Shalai Balamo, Hechak Tiva. Where do we have the limitation of Eshtachim Shalai Balamo? If you go to my Rav. Rav says the following of Makra. Ki Yeshvu Achim Yachdav. The introduction of the Parsha of Yibum is Ki Yeshvu Achim Yachdav, if brothers dwell together. Shaitana Mishiva Achat Balam means they had to live in the world at the same time. So that excludes our case. Now, why does it say Yachdav together? Miuchadim and Achala. They have to be people who share an inheritance. What does that mean? Pratli Achad Min Ha'em. That excludes maternal brothers. Because after all, brothers inherit from their father. And therefore, brothers who are only maternal brothers are not in the same inheritance. And therefore, the Yachdav is there for that. Good. Rabba Amar, Achin Min Ha'av Yalif Achva Achva Mnei Yaakov. Rabba says we have another source. We will see in a few moments that we need both. Achim, Achim ibn Yaakov. Take a look at Pasuk number 2 on the page, which is not mentioned explicitly in the Gemara. Rashi quotes it, that when the brothers come to the regent of Egypt, they don't know as Yosef, they describe themselves as Shnei Asar Anachnu Achim b'nei Avinu. Achim b'nei Avinu. Brothers, the son of our father. So that defines, what is brotherhood? Brotherhood is one father. So Malo min Av, lo min Ayim, Afkan min Av, lo min Ayim. And by the way, there, they are not maternal brothers. As they have four different mothers. So, and or in the case of the speakers, they're three different mothers, but nonetheless, they're referring to 12, so there's four different mothers. So that means that paternal and a paternal brotherhood is both necessary and sufficient to establish Achva. So why are you going there? Go look at Pasuk number 3. Pasuk number 3 says, you're not allowed to marry the wife of your brother. And by the way, that applies to both maternal and paternal brothers. So why are you saying that Achva and Yibum, you're going to Bnei Yaakov? Why don't you go Achva and Yibum and go to the Arayot, which by the way is much closer in context? The answer is Danin Achim Achim Me'achim V'en Danin Achim Me'achicha. In our Pasuk, in Yibum, our index Pasuk, the word is used Achim. In the Pasuk about Bnei Yaakov describing themselves to Yosef, they call themselves Achim, the exact same word. In the case of Arayot, it's Achicha. Now, my nafkamina, who cares? Why are we so being so careful? It's the exact same word. Hatan Rebbe Shmuel, Shava Koin of Vakoin, a very famous drasha about Nigea Bayit, about the Tzarat of the house. It says that the coin returns and then the coin comes. We say Zui Shiva, Zui Bia, Rebbe Shmuel famously says, referring to the same act coming in and returning, right? Which means that the word Lashuv and the word Lavo, which are two totally different roots, are seen to be as synonymous. So why do you care that Achim and Achicha with such a minor difference? The answer is Hani Mili Echad Aleke Lamidi Domile. That's if there's nothing that's closer. But here we have Achim, which is closer to Achim. It's exactly Achim, as opposed to Achicha. So that's where we go. So if you want Achim, then we have Achim in the case of Avram separating from Lot. Just before that, he says in Pasuk number 6. Right? And there, by the way, they're not even brothers maternally or paternally. They are uncle-nephew. Right? Perhaps they're also brothers-in-law. Right? But they're not certainly not brothers in any case. So why don't you say that maybe Achim in the Parsha of Yibum means any male relative? Yeah, look at the Ramban in Bereishit Lamed Chet. So Rabbi Bnei Yaakov Avadei Lemelech. The answer is that if we have a choice, it's preferable to infer it from Bnei Yaakov. Shum demafni. Why? Because in the Pasuk number 2 on the page, and again, look at it, the word Achim is totally extra. It's mufne. I mean, have the nichtav shem asar abadacha bnei avinu. All that I say is, we, your 12 slaves, are the sons of a father. Tiv Achim, why does it say Achim? Shvamine lafnuya. The minute you say we're all sons of a father, we're automatically brothers. Why do we say brothers? Instead of teach you, that's what brotherhood is. And now the Gemara observes that you need both Yachdav in the Parsha of Yibum and Achim in the Parsha of Bnei Yaakov. Why? Dikat of Rachmana Achim, if all we had was the Parsha of Bnei Yaakov, min alel of Achva Achva Milot. Then I would have no reason to go to Bnei Yaakov more than to go to Lot. Why? Mafni, if you want to tell me the Parsha of Lot, the word Achim is not extra, that's not true. Why? Afnuya Mafni, it is extra. Take a look at the Parsha of Lot. He says, Anashim Achim Anachru. Minahavid and the Mikhtav Re'im, he should have said, Re'im, we are friends. Tivachim, why does it say brothers? Shmaminel Afri. It must be there to say, you know what? Brotherhood is expansive. It includes uncles and nephews. It includes brothers-in-law, whatever. Right? That's why the Torah has to say Yachdav in the Parsha of Yibum to say that they really are together, the same family. Hamiyuchadim and Achala, they share an inheritance. And if the Torah said Yachdav, Avemena demiyachti be'abba u'ima. If the Torah just said Yachdav in the Parsha of Yibum, I would have thought they need both father and mother together. Right? Shricha. That's why I need both psukim. So now, to summarize, and looking at our psukim, the Torah says, Ki yeshvu achim yachdav. Achim, first of all, Ki yeshvu achim yachdav tells me, and this is why we started this, that if the brothers did not live in the world at the same time, the Yibum doesn't apply. The Erva of Eshrach does. Yachdav is there to tell you what kind of brothers? Paternal brothers. Why don't we infer it from Lot, where it would be any male relative, pretty much? The answer is because Yachdav brings us together in Achala. So then if we have Yachdav, what do we need Achim for? Just tell me that they don't have to be from the same mother. And that's why you go to Bnei Yaakov, who had different mothers. Now, why is that the case? Why would we think that that you would need fathers and mother together? After all, Yibum is all about inheritance. That the oldest son, the son that's born of this Yibum, will take the inheritance of the dead man, etc. And that's all Minahav. The answer is Yitztarich. I still need it. I would have thought the following. So the whole notion of Yibum is a Chiddush. The Torah is permitting an erva to this man. His brother's wife, it's an erva, and the Torah is saying it's permitted. Not only that, it's a mitzvah. Perhaps the Torah put a very high threshold, high standard, set the bar high, and said that, but you have to be a brother, both from father and mother. Sricha, that's why I need achim in the parsha of Bnei Yaakov to tell me that the mother, who, if the same mother, different mother, doesn't make a difference. The issue is simply, are we brothers in inheritance, brothers minahav? Good. That's the opening piece. The next piece, which will take us all the way to the Mishnah, is about the issue of Zika. So just to clarify very quickly, and I put this in note number 2 on the page. Zika literally means a bond. And the notion of Yesh Zika means that the minute that a Yivama falls to a brother, or perhaps even to multiple brothers, there is a relationship that is already created between them, which is not just potential, but to some extent is actual. And as a result of that, there may be implications for her relatives towards the brothers, etc., now being the relatives of their zikukot, then if that zika holds. If, on the other hand, we say ein zika, then that means until a person actually does yibum to a particular woman, there's no relationship between the two of them, and his relationship with her relatives is as open as it was before. Let's see how it plays out. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. We're going to represent this as Rav's opinion. Shomer Yavam Shemeta. So a Shomer Yavam means a girl falls to, let's say right now, several brothers. Though it could even be one brother. And she dies before he could do Yibum. Mutar Bi'ima. He's allowed to then marry her mother. Alma Kesavra Ein Zika. So obviously Rav holds Ein Zika, because if he held Yesh Zika, that would mean that this brother for a time had a relationship with this girl, and therefore he could never have a relationship with her mother. Now, V'leim Halacha Gedivir Amar Ein Zika. So why doesn't Rav just say the Halacha is Ein Zika? If Rav just said the Halacha is Ein Zika, then I might have thought Rav only meant that where there's two brothers, which means it's not clear with which brother there's going to be any relationship. Aval bechad yesh zika, but perhaps if there's only one brother, Rav would say yesh zika, because it's clear he's the only brother that's around that could have any relationship here. Perhaps we, even before the brother's done anything, we say there's already a relationship established. Nu v'leim halacha k'divrei Omer ein zika afilu bechad. So why doesn't he just say the halacha is ein zika even when there's only one brother? Yamar hachi, if he said that, havemin afilu michayim, then I would have thought that he would say even while the girl's alive, meaning, if a girl falls to a guy, and there's only one brother, the girl falls to him, perhaps that he could marry her mother while she's still alive. Right? Kamash Malan, that's why he picked the case. L'achar mita'in mechayim lo. Why? Mishum da'aso levatal mitzvot yavmi. In other words, he says as follows. There is no zika, but I only employ that practically after the girl has died. If the girl dies, then I can marry the mother. But if the girl's still alive, I can't marry the mother. Why? Not because she's the mother of my zikuka, that's not a problem. But because if I marry the mother, now this zikuka goes free, and there's no yibum or chalitza done, and there is a position which we will see espoused, that asur levatel mitzvat yabmin, you're not allowed to engineer a situation which will then exempt everyone from yibum or chalitza. Good. Now, that is Rav. Tnan. We have the following Mishnah in Perek Dalet. Yivim tov shemeta mutar va'achota. If a woman, if a Yavama, Shemeret Yavam, dies, he's allowed to marry her sister. Now that's kind of a no-brainer because if a wife dies, you can marry her sister. We talked about that at length. Right? Ba'achota in bi'imalo. So why did the Mishnah pick that case? It must mean because you're allowed to marry her sister, but you're not allowed to marry her mother, just like if your wife dies, you can't marry her mother. Now, no, the answer is you're not reading it right. The truth is that if a wife, Yavama dies, we're defending Rav. If a wife dies, if a Yavama dies, you could marry her mother. Because the Reisha of that Mishnah says that if your wife dies, you can marry her sister. And there it really is. Because there really, if a wife dies, you can marry her sister, but you cannot marry her mother. That's an Isur D'oraita. I'm not saying from Mutar Bachota. So for parallel construction, the end of the Mishnah said, you're allowed to marry the sister. Now, that's Rav. So Rav's position is Ein Zika, and the reason that the Mishnah later on in Perek Dalet said that if Yavama dies, you can marry her sister, truth is you could even marry her mother. Why did it say you could marry her sister? Parallel construction with the earlier statement that said that if the wife dies, you can marry her sister, and there you could not say her mother, because that's not true. That's Rav. Rav Yehuda, Amar, Shemeret Yavam Shemeta Asur Be'ima. He disagrees and says that if a Shemeret Yavam dies, now what's a little unclear here, is Rav Yehuda disagreeing with Rav, his Rebbe, or is Rav Yehuda disagreeing with Rav Huna, who reported the name of Rav? Unclear. It will get a little clarity later, but not total. Shemeret Yavam Shemeta Asur Be'ima. He has the opposite position. If a Shemeret Yavam dies, you're not allowed to ever marry her mother. Alma Kasava Yesh Zika. Obviously, he holds Yesh Zika. So why doesn't he just say that's the halacha, yesh zika? If he just said yesh zika, we'd think, sure, yesh zika when there's only one brother, and he's the only one on which we can associate any sort of a relationship. Aval betray ain zika. But if there's two, maybe we'll say ain zika. Vahaki pligi betray pligi. Ah, but the machloket here is about when there's two brothers. So we would never think if somebody said yesh zika, it's only when there's one. We're talking about a case, the machloket about Zika, right, which is later on, we're going to see a piece of this about a man who's about to marry a girl and then her sister falls to him. That machloket is a situation where there's two brothers, Yesh Zika or Ein Zika. Right? So nobody would think that if Rav Yehuda said Yesh Zika, he meant only in the case of one. Halacha, like the halacha follows the one who says Yesh Zika, because that machloket is about a case of two. All right? Ela'i amar hachi, but if Rav Yehuda said halacha ka'am with divrei amar yesh zika, havimena michayim. I would have thought that yesh zika only michayim. Aval la'achar mita, paka la zika. Because after all, the index case, which is when a man gives kiddushin to a girl, and then her sister falls to his brother, if you say yesh zika, then that means that he's not allowed to continue with his relationship with this girl until his brother gives her chalitza, or does yibum, but until he does something, she's still achot zekukato, if we hold yesh zika. Right, but that's while both of them are alive. Aval achar mita pakal zika, I might think that the minute the girl dies, the zika, poof, disappears, which makes a lot of sense because zika is about potential relationship. Once the girl dies, that potential can never be realized. Kamash Bolan, the Zika Bichtilo Paka. So Kamash Bolan, that's why Rav Yehuda says that even if a Shemeret Yavam dies, he's still allowed to marry a mother because Zika doesn't disappear, poof. Zika needs something to make it disappear. Good. So now, the Mishnah before that we used to challenge Rav now becomes a possible support for Rav Yehuda. Lema Sayele, perhaps this supports Rav Yehuda. Yavim to Shemeta Mutar Bachotat. The Mishnah says that if a Yavama dies, you're allowed to marry a sister, and we are Medayik Bachotat in the Imalom. All right, which means you can't marry mother. Exactly what Yehuda says. No, wadinda filu bi'ima. We basically here take the sting out of the proof the same way that we took the sting out of the attack. ואין לתנא רישא, אשתו שמתה מותר באחותה, דווקא באחותה, אבל אם מה לא, דאמר לה איסור דרייתא, תנא מסייפא מותר באחותה. הסיים אנסר. נא, מתי רב הונא בר חייא. We're going to see a string of challenges against the position of Yesh Zika. All right, and it's really on the, there's two pages in the handout today. And so we're on D, all right, and series of challenges against Rav Yehuda who said Yesh Zika. First of all, Asamba Ma'amar Umeit, our Mishnah. What does our Mishnah say? That at the end, that if the second fellow, remember the brother number one died, then brother number three was born, and brother number two only did ma'amar on the wife that fell to him, and then he died. Shniach oletzet velo mitjabemet. The other one, meaning his original wife, does chalitza v'nat yibum, tama davar ba'mamar. So we assume that's only because he did ma'amar. Halova ba'mamar, but if he did not done ma'amar, meaning the brother died and the second brother didn't do anything yet, and then the third and then the second brother died. Shniya nami yivum miyama. We would assume the second one has full yibum, meaning the second brother's original wife would have full yibum because she's not called sarat zekukato. But if you hold the position, Rav Yehuda, that yesh zika, havilat sarat eshet achiv shalai balamo bezika. It's kind of a confusing term, but really take it apart, it's not so confusing. Start with the element. Esh tachiv shalai balamo. We don't know what that. We know what that is. That's wife number one is esh tachiv shalai balamo to brother number three. Wife number two is tsarat esh tachiv shalai balamo. But how is she a tsarat? Not by full marriage, but by zika. If according to you, once there's a zika, it's like they're already married, then the wife number two, even though brother number two didn't do anything to wife number one, she's just waiting to have yibum, and then he dies, then still, due to zika, which you're maintaining, she should be the tzara, and there should be no yibum there either. Rabba says, you know what? In our Mishnah, even if brother number two did not do any ma'amar, wife number two would still only have chalitza as an option, not yibum. V'haditani ma'amar. So why'd they pick ma'amar? Afuki Beit Shammai dami ma'amar kone kinyan gamur. Because there's a position of Beit Shammai, which is that ma'amar is a full kinyan, a 100% kinyan. In order to oppose that position, our Mishnah said, if he only did ma'amar, then the shnia is not p'turah, but she does have to, she can only do chalitza. Okay? But she must do chalitza. And in order to oppose that, we pick the case of ma'amar. But the truth is, Rav Yehuda will defend, even if the second guy did not do any ma'amar, which means the first wife fell to the second guy, he did not have a chance to do anything. And he died. When she falls to brother number three, she, of course, is totally patur, is eshtachiv shalei b'mo, and the brother number two's wife, who is a tsara via zika, only can do chalitza, because zika is not strong enough. Nobody would claim zika strong enough to make her a full tsara, but it is strong enough to disallow yibum. Now, etavei abaye, second challenge to Rav Yehuda, or perhaps third. Shnei achim ba'olam achad. All right, so we have two brothers who coexist. It's later on in our parak. Umeit achad mehen below vlad. The one dies childless. V'yamar hashini azel lasod ma'amar b'yivim to. Second guy gets to do ma'amar. V'lo yispik lasod ma'amar ad shnolad lo ach. And before he does ma'amar, a third brother is born. Umeit, and then brother number two dies. Exactly our case. Harishona yotza mishum eshtachim shalev alamo. So wife number one clearly cannot go to brother number three. Ushniya, the second, ochol etzor amid yabemet. But the wife of brother number two can have chalitza or yibum. That's pretty easy. If you're going to claim zika, then how can wife number two go to brother number three be yibum? After all, she's the tsara via zika of eshtachim shalai abalamo. Right? So the answer is, Hamani Rab Meir, the answer is the author of that Mishnah is Rab Meir, Damar ein zika. We know that Rab Meir holds ein zika. Right? But now we're going to challenge that. Umitzvir le Rav Meir ein zika, v'atanan arba achim shnayim mehem nesuim shnei achayot. Umeit nesuim achayot. This is a case we've dealt with already several times, the beginning of the third parak. If their two brothers are married to two sisters, and the two brothers die, what do the other two brothers, brothers three and four, do? Harei l'chotzot v'lo mit yamot. They give chalitz v'nat yibum. Why? Because each, if brother number three would do yibum, let's say, on sister number one, well, sister number one is the achot zikuka, because he's also got a zikana number two. And this Mishnah is authored by Rameir. Right? The Yisagadaita Sober Meir Ein Zika Hani Mitrei Bati Katin. After all, sister number one is coming from one house, sister number two from another house. Highly Yavim Chana, highly Yavim Chana. Let each brother, brother number three and four, let each one of them do Yibum on a different sister. Right? The answer is the Olam Ein Zika. The reality is that Ein Zika. Right? Because we're going to defend Rav Meir. And the reason in that Mishnah that we say that brothers number three and four cannot do Yibum is because Meshum the Kasavar Asur Levatal Mitzvah Yabmin. Rav Meir holds you're not allowed to engineer a situation that is going to annul the Mitzvah of Yibum. How does that work? Dilma, the Miyabim Chad, this is a very, very distant concern, and we'll see that Rav Meir takes this into account, that if brother number three is Miyabim, let's say sister number one, what'll happen? Mayit Idach. Then let's say sister number two dies. V'kabatlad mitzvat yabmin. Brother number four dies. And what happens is that brother number three now, sister number two, is now free to go without chalitza or yibum, which means the household of brother number two never got any coverage for it. Not yibum, not chalitza, no attention given to it. That's bitul mitzvat yabmin. Right, which means, by the way, that we are defending the position that the author of that Mishnah Perek Yomah holds Ein Zika. And the only reason he says that brother number three and brother number four cannot respectively take sisters one and two or vice versa is not because of a Zika, which is how we learned it earlier, but rather because of a concern that after brother number three, let's say, takes sister number one, brother number four will die and then sister number two will be released without any attention. The Ein Zika Tibatel. Well, wait a second. If you hold Ein Zika, so let us be Mevatel Mitzvos Yavmin. After all, the Rav Gamliel Amar Ein Zika Umutar Levatel Mitzvos Yavmin. Rav Gamliel is of the position that Ein Zika, and he also holds you are allowed to engineer a case where you annul Yibum. And let's see how that plays out. Now, Rav Gamliel Amar, if you have a girl who is the sister of his wife falls with others. If she is married young, kiddushin miyun. Im miyana miyana. If she did miyun, fine. Im lo miyana, tamtina shtagdil v'tetzei al azumi shemachot isha. And if she doesn't do miyun, let her grow up. We don't encourage her to do miyun. Let her grow up. She'll come of age. She'll say, "I never was interested in leaving this relationship," and then she goes free without any chalitza needed because, after all, she's a chot isha. In other words, a man is married to a girl, and her very young sister was married off, not by her father, to this fellow's brother. And the guy dies. So Rabbi Gamliel is of the opinion that says, look, if she does miyun, fine. And if she doesn't do miyun, we don't encourage her to do miyun in order to sidestep so there is no possibility of yibum here. We allow her to grow up if she wants to and never declare herself uninterested in the marriage. And then she automatically was free because of achot isha. So Rabbi Gamliel doesn't care about that. So I'm rather Rabbi Gamliel or Meir Karamit. What are you challenging from Rabbi Gamliel or Meir? Maybe they have different opinions. Rav Gamliel holds Ein Zika and holds Mutar Levatel Mitzvot Yabmin. And Rav Meir holds Ein Zika and says Asur Levatel Mitzvot Yabmin. They can disagree about that. This is what we're observing, and it's really just an observation. Rav Meir Chayesh Afilus Faker. Rav Meir says, I'm so concerned with Asur Levatel Mitzvot Yabmin that I will even say in the case of a Safek. In other words, brother number three cannot marry sister number one because brother number four may die in the meantime. And then there will be Mevatel Mitzvos Yavmin. It's a distance of faith. Rabbi Gamliel, Fidel Vadai Lo Chayesh. Rabbi Gamliel says we can even watch it walk in front of us and play out in front of us, and not even a safek, even a Vadai case. I don't care about Bitul Mitzvos Yavmin. Now, Dilma Manda Lo Chayesh, Fidel Vadai Lo Chayesh, Manda Chayesh, Fidel Sfeik Chayesh. And maybe that's the answer. If you care about Mitzvos Yavmin, you care even in the case of a safek or a mayor. And if you're not concerned with Mitzvos Yavmin, then you don't care about it, even in the case of Vadai. In other words, you're starting with an assumption that people would have a greater concern about Bitul Mitzvos Yabmin in the case of Vadai than Safek, the answer is you don't. If you're concerned about it, you're concerned even that it might happen. If you're not concerned, you're not even concerned about it if for sure it'll happen. And that's indeed the way it plays out. Good. Amar le Abaye le Rav Yosef. So Abaye then turned to Rav Yosef and said, Hadu Rav Yehuda. This statement of Rav Yehuda that said Yesh Zika to Shmuel is really, Rav Yehuda is inconsistent with his Rebbe Shmuel. Did not. We have the following Mishnah. Shomeret Yavam Shekidesh Achiv Et Achotah. He got a Shomeret Yavam, and in the meantime, the brother, one of the brothers, had already been Mekadesh, her sister. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Mevatera Amru, Rabbi Yehuda Mevatera said, Omrim lo hamten ad sheyaseh chichamaseh. They tell the guy who was Mekadesh, said, wait, don't act, don't do nisuin, until we see what your brother does. In other words, if your brother does yibum, fine. If your other brother does chalitza, also fine. But until he does something, you can't act, because in the meantime, the woman you gave kiddushin to is achod zekukatcha, and that only happens if yesh zika. And Shmuel paskin like that, which means, by the way, we see that Shmuel himself held yesh zika. So Amar le'id Rav Mai. So he said, wait, and what would bother us so much if Rav was the author of that statement? I'm a kasha to Rav or to Rav. You'll say that you have a challenge between Rav and Rav. Rav saying ain zika, and here Rav saying this. Dilma amarayninu. Maybe there's a machloket amarayin. I'll leave it to Rav, right? Kevan deitma mishpei to Shmuel behedya umishpei to Rav kamaroi. But the answer is, since we have an explicit statement in Shmuel's name and a possibility that Rav said it, so lo shavkem mishpei to Shmuel behedya umakvin to kamaroi. I'll leave it to Rav. We're not going to say it wasn't Shmuel, which we have an explicit version of, and it really was Rav, which is all murky. So we say that it's Shmuel. Good. I'm Rav Kana. I'm Rita Shmata Kamid Rav Zvid. I mentioned this whole Shmuel to Rav Zvid. Amar Atun Hachim Maninu. That's how you learned it. Anu Nehedim Maninu Lan. We learned it explicitly. Not as perhaps this is what Shmuel meant, but rather I'm Rav Yehuda. Amar Shmuel. In other words, our original statement about the Shomer Yavam dying and you not being allowed to marry her mother, we didn't learn it as Rav Yehuda saying it. We heard it as Rav Yehuda quoting Shmuel saying it. And now, instead of hooking in and saying, oh, that statement of Rabbi Yehuda fits what his Rebbe said, what we said is that statement of Shmuel is consistent with what Shmuel said. That we tell the brother to wait and not do nisuin until his brother has done chalitza or yibum on the girl, on the sister. So now, why do we need both statements of Shmuel? Both the Shomer Yavam Shemeta and the brother being Mekadesh, the sister of his Zekuka. And the answer is, the Yashmin and the Yeshzika, if we only have the case of the Yavama dying, I would think that that's only the case where there's one brother, and so I would say, aha, there he says, because she fell to you and only you, there's a Zika, and when she dies, you can't marry a mother. A Vitrelo. But if there were two brothers, I would think maybe there is no Zika because we don't know which brother was going to act. Kamash Malan. Therefore, we picked this case because we read in Matera, there's two brothers. Okay? So there's Zika even though there's two brothers. But if we have the case we read in Matera, we'd think there's only Zika when they're both alive. Because in that case, both girls are alive. But after the girl dies, Pakala Zika. Kamash Malan is Zika Bichtila Paka. So I would think that when the girl dies, the Zika's gone, which makes a lot of sense, I mentioned before. Kamash Malan, that's why Shmuel has to say, Shomer Yavam Shemeta Asur Bima, because Zika does not disappear, poof, just with death. Zika needs a formal act to make it disappear. That formal act, of course, being Chalitza. Everyone should have a wonderful day. And so we will pick up with the next Mishnah on Daf Yudchet Amud Bet, and continue until the Mishnah on Daf